Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Trial begins in Stabbing Death by Kim Smith. The defense attorney for a 33-year-old Odessa man accused of stabbing another man in the heart nearly 2 years ago told jurors Tuesday that after they hear all of the evidence, they'll have to decide if his actions were unreasonable. Tuesday was the first day in the trial of Joseph Richard Grondahl, Jr., who is accused of stabbing Austin Pasilas, 25, to death outside the Carriage House Apartments on Dixie Boulevard on December 13, 2020. Assistant Ector County District Attorney Elizabeth Howard told jurors they'll hear from a handful of witnesses who were there that night, including Natalie Lassiter, Pasilas' former girlfriend. Howard said Pasilas was stabbed 3 times in the chest, and one of the wounds was straight to the heart. Grondahl fled the scene, but authorities were able to link him to the slaying and arrested him at his house the following day after he left for El Paso but changed his mind, Howard said. Howard also told jurors they'll learn Grondahl sent messages to Lassiter asking her to clean up the crime scene and delete their messages to one another. He also sent a message to his brother that something bad had happened and he needed to leave town. Defense attorney Luis Chavez told jurors Pasilas was killed shortly after he pulled a knife out while having his arm around Lassiter, and Grondahl spoke up on her behalf. Lassiter has been charged with hindering apprehension or prosecution in connection with the case. Outside the presence of the jury and prior to opening statements, she told 244th Ector County District Court Judge James Rush she intends to testify on behalf of the state against the advice of her attorney. She told the judge she just wants to do the right thing. Inflation will be transitory, economist says. Midland's Worst in Nation Inflation Report Questioned by Bob Campbell. Inflation is straining life in the Permian Basin with everything from high gasoline and diesel prices to the increasingly steep costs of grocery shopping and dining out. Waco economist Ray Perriman and Odessa restaurateur Roy Gillian said Monday that the war in Ukraine, oil field production costs rising along with oil and natural gas prices, supply chain problems, and other issues are to blame. Referring to a recent Bloomberg News report showing Midland with the worst inflation of any city in the country, Perriman said the Midland numbers were estimates derived from the U.S. Consumer Price Index's survey of 20 metro markets, including Dallas, Fort Worth, and Houston. Those numbers are subject to a high degree of error and a lot of month-to-month fluctuation, said Perriman, who lives in Odessa. I don't put a great deal of stock in them, but it is quite likely that prices are somewhat higher than average locally. Odessa is likely somewhat similar to Midland, although its housing costs, a significant component of the CPI, are lower. Perriman said much of the current inflation is transitory, driven by supply chain issues and energy prices following the Ukraine invasion on the supply side and excess funds from federal stimuli on the demand side, which he called a classic case of too much money chasing too few goods. The combination of those issues dissipating and the Federal Reserve's actions of raising interest rates should bring rates down by late in the year, although much depends on the course of the war and China's stance on production interruptions, he said, adding that a recent increase in imports suggests progress with supply-side issues. Over the longer term, Perriman told the Odessa American, we are likely to have some modest residual inflation at higher levels than we have seen over the past decade or so, something on the order of 2 to 3% per year, whereas we had been seeing 1 to 2%. This increase stems from two primary sources. First, the long-term workforce shortage in the country will tend to push up wages. Second, the added federal spending and debt during the pandemic, while much of it was necessary, will nonetheless generate an excess of money in the system as the Federal Reserve gradually restores its balance sheet to more normal levels. While prices are higher locally, average incomes are also higher, which somewhat offsets the effects of inflation for those who are not on relatively fixed incomes. Moreover, the energy production in the Permian Basin is a key factor in providing long-term stable supplies of energy that will ultimately reduce inflation not only locally, but also nationally and globally. Roy Gillian, co-owner of the Barn Door restaurant, said increased food supply costs had forced him to charge $2 more for entrees and $1 more for lunch entrees and meals for senior citizens and children. "We're trying hard to keep costs where they need to be," Gillian said. "Every time we do a food order, we get the very best prices we can for our customers. They're emailed, so they will be there for me when I come in on Monday, and I can compare the prices and quality of every order and not have to raise prices more than I have already. Before you know it, people will stop coming out to eat because it's too expensive." Food is expensive everywhere, he said. Milk over $6 a gallon? That's crazy. Gillian said the cost of all meats has gone up dramatically, especially chicken, which was already expensive but is now sky high. Death notices from the Odessa American for Wednesday. Adam Martinez Alvarez, 38, died Saturday, May 21st in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Beverly K. Helton, 81, of Odessa, died Friday, May 20th in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. May 25th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Vernia Mae Jones, 87, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 19th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, May 26th at Bethlehem Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Rose Hill Garden section of Ector County Cemetery. Pastors Terry Pugh and Doug Herget are officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Ramon Woofy Jordan, 48, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 17th in Chihuahua, Mexico. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m., May 26th, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Abel Martinez, 86, died Saturday, May 21st, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Kimberly Ann Wright, 56, of Odessa, died Monday, May 16th, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, May 27th, at St. Matthew's Baptist Church, Odessa. Family has opted for cremation with burial of cremains at a later date. Pastor Brandon Marshall is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, May 25th. This is Section B, the Health and Wellness section. This article is entitled, MMH Volunteer Program Begins in June, by Jackie Geiling, Midland Health. Midland Memorial Hospital Auxiliary will begin the 2022 Summer Junior Volunteer Program on June 13th. The summer program is for youth aged 13 to 17. Areas of service will include the information desk, popcorn service, and gift shop. Duties at the information desk include taking hospital patients and family members to their destinations within the hospital. Popcorn duties include popping and selling popcorn. Gift shop duties, 4 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., will include selling items in the store and keeping the store open in the evenings. Uniform cost is $30. Orientations are June 13th, 14th, and 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. Please meet in the market at MMH. Makeup orientations will be scheduled as needed. For more information, please contact Jackie Geiling at jacqueline.geiling@midlandhealth.org or 432-221-1542. Jackie Geiling is the Director of Volunteers for the MMH Auxiliary Department. This article is entitled Tips to Aid Your Immune System by Baylor College of Medicine. This spring, many people may be getting sick because of COVID-19 or with something else for the first time since the pandemic began. Dr. Pratheet Kulkarni, Assistant Professor of Medicine in Infectious Diseases at Baylor College of Medicine, shares tips for optimizing your immune system for staying as healthy as possible. Tip 1. Hand sanitizer was great before the pandemic and is still great. According to Kulkarni, frequently using hand sanitizer won't decrease your body's ability to fight off germs over time. Although overuse of antibiotics has been shown to increase antibiotic resistance, the same principle does not apply to hand sanitizers. As doctors, we have to use hand sanitizer before and after entering every patient's hospital room, Kulkarni said. This high frequency of use doesn't make us more susceptible to infections. However, hand sanitizer should not be considered a substitute for washing your hands thoroughly with soap and water in all situations. There are some viruses that can't be killed with alcohol-based sanitizer, such as norovirus. In addition, frequent using of hand sanitizer can dry out the skin, so consider adding moisturizer to your routine. Tip 2. Overall well-being contributes to a healthy immune system. Healthy habits like eating well, getting enough sleep, and exercising regularly are good for your overall well-being, which can impact your immune system and ability to fight off infections, according to Kulkarni. It's important to set yourself up for good health by supporting your physical and mental well-being. It's all part of an overall continuum of health, Kulkarni said. Getting one night of bad sleep won't make you sick, but getting poor sleep over a long period of time can impact your overall health. Tip 3. There's no magic fix to boost your immune system. Unfortunately, there's no magic pill or supplement to help protect you from illnesses like the common cold. Although vitamins C and zinc are frequently advertised to boost the immune system, research shows mixed results in effectiveness, Kulkarni said. Studies show that vitamin C, for example, does not prevent someone from getting the common cold, but might provide a minor reduction in symptom duration if taken regularly. In the case of COVID-19, Kulkarni stresses that the most effective and best proven way to protect yourself is to get vaccinated and boosted. While vaccines may not entirely prevent you from getting COVID-19, they remain extremely effective at preventing severe disease and hospitalization. This article is entitled, Meditation Can Help with Managing Mental Stress, by Laurel Kelly, Mayo Clinic News Network. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, which makes this a good time to learn about managing stress. Stress is a normal psychological and physical reaction to the demands of life. A small amount of stress can be good, motivating you to perform well. When used positively, stress can lead to growth, action, and change. But negative long-term stress can lessen your quality of life and put your health at risk. One of the first steps toward good stress management is understanding how you react to stress and making changes if necessary. Take a look at how you react to stress and then adopt or modify stress management techniques to make sure the stress in your life doesn't lead to health problems. Relaxation techniques are a great way to help with stress management. Relaxation isn't only about peace of mind or enjoying a hobby. Relaxation is a process that decreases the effects of stress on your mind and body. In general, relaxation techniques involve refocusing your attention on something calming and increasing awareness of your body. It doesn't matter which relaxation technique you choose. What matters is that you try to practice relaxation regularly to reap its benefits. Meditation is considered a type of mind-body complementary medicine. Meditation has been practiced for thousands of years, and it originally was meant to help deepen understanding of the sacred and mystical forces of life. These days, meditation is commonly used for relaxation and stress reduction. There are many forms of meditation, but most have in common a quiet setting, a comfortable position, focused attention, and an open attitude. Spending even a few minutes in meditation can give you a sense of calm, peace, and balance that can benefit your emotional well-being and overall health. And these benefits don't end when your meditation session ends. Meditation can help carry you more calmly through your day and may help you manage the symptoms of certain medical conditions.
Jane, reading for the Saturday Odessa American, May 21st.
Classical Academy raises funds for Rays of Hope. Kids Helping Kids hosted a Young Entrepreneurs Spring Fair on April 1st for all interested Classical Academy Permian Basin students in kindergarten through 8th grade. The Young Entrepreneurs Club hosted the event, and the products sold were designed and made by the students, who raised $664.75. All proceeds were donated to Rays of Hope, a community outreach program of Hospice of Midland that focuses on children's grief and recovery. Rays of Hope utilizes art for the healing process as well as other methods. Detailed in the press release, Rays of Hope director Adriana Aguilar told the class, "We are passionate about meeting the unique needs of grieving children and their families. The center serves those who have experienced a loss due to death, divorce, separation, foster care, or other painful transition. Your donation will go a long way to helping other children." Jesse Campbell, headmaster of Classical Academy of the Permian Basin, stated in a press release, "The idea was inspired by some of our fifth grade girls during the first semester. Last November, they requested if they could create and design jewelry to sell at our holiday fair as a fundraiser. Many other students were inspired by the girls' initiative as they created their own products to sell at the holiday market on campus. We incorporated this into our spring fair. Students created any original product to sell at the fair, anything from jewelry to toys to models, bird feeders, or something never made before." UTPB to offer wide array of summer camps. The University of Texas Permian Basin is hosting several different summer camps in the coming months. There are a variety of different camps for parents to choose from, including several sports, music, theater, engineering, cybersecurity, biomedical research, and more. All of UTPB's summer camp opportunities can be found at tinyurl.com/55FWC54E. The June camps include a Falcon football camp for kindergarten through 8th grade to take place June 1st to the 3rd. There's also a men's basketball skills camp for grades 2nd through 8th from June 8th to June 10th. There's a men's basketball shooting camp for kindergarten through 8th grade scheduled for June 11th. There are 3 sessions of girls volleyball camp for grades 5th to high school scheduled for June 20th to 21st, June 24th to 25th, and June 27th to 28th. UTPB is offering a virtual natural resource phenomenon virtual colloquium camp for kids ages 15 and up, set for June 2nd to 3rd. UTPB has a cybersecurity camp for ages 15 to 18, set for June 10th to 11th. There are also 2 biomedical research camps for ages 16 to 18, scheduled for June 13th to 16th and June 20th to 23rd. UTPB will also have a piano camp for ages 8 and up, from June 1st to 3rd. There will be a band orchestra camp for middle and high school students scheduled for June 6th to 11th, and there will be a musical theater camp for ages 10 to 18 set for June 27th to July 1st. In July, the UTPB will have a girls volleyball camp for 5th grade to high school students set for July 8th to 9th. UTPB will offer 3 women's basketball camps. The first is for 2nd grade to 8th grade students on July 14th. The next 2 will be for ages 14 to 18 on July 15th and July 16th. UTPB will also have 1 men's basketball skills camp scheduled for July 18th to the 20th. There will be a large school choir camp scheduled for July 13th to 15th, and a small school choir camp set for July 18th to 19th.
Good morning, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, May 22nd. OCA student snags gold seal. Piper Weekly is not only in the top 10 at Odessa Collegiate Academy, but he's the gold star winner in the state visual arts scholastic event competition. This is Weekly's 4th year at OCA, and he plans to attend Texas Tech University and study art. Weekly, 17, said winning the gold seal was thrilling. I felt amazing because it's the highest honor you can earn in art, school-wise, so I was not expected to win. Probably the greatest feeling I've ever had, Weekly said. The winning piece was a portrait of his art teacher, Bryant Golden. I was hoping to win, but I wasn't expecting it. He added that he took classes in middle school, but didn't think he would pursue a degree until last year. Weekly said digital art is more appealing to him than traditional mediums. I have a very hard time using the mediums, and the way I see it, digital art is part of the future for art, and so I want to be riding the wave of that, he added. He also landed at number 7 on the top 10 students. I was really proud of myself whenever I found out, he said. He had been working for it since the last year of middle school. In 8th grade, I started taking high school classes. That's when I really, I want to be on the top 10, Weekly said. He added that he's nervous about graduating, but looking forward to it in the same time, because it's a new step in my life. Weekly has been to visit Texas Tech. I think it's beautiful. I visited my dorm and everything in the art district where I'm going to take all my classes. This has been one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life, he added.
High levels of creatinine and Tylenol to your good health for Wednesday. Dear Dr. Roach, at my yearly physical exam, my creatinine was 1.11, normal range 0.6 to 0.88. What do I need to do? Is it safe to use Tylenol? Dr. Roach writes, the higher the creatinine number, the worse the kidney function. However, if you hadn't eaten or drunk any fluids for a long time before your lab test, that could have made the creatinine go up too. The overall pattern of your creatinine over time needs to be considered. A fast increase is much more concerning than a stable or slowly increasing level. Most often, in people with a modest elevation in creatinine, nothing needs to be done beyond making sure you aren't hurting your kidneys. Anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen and naproxen are much more dangerous to your kidneys than Tylenol, which is safe if taken occasionally. However, even Tylenol taken at high doses over many years can itself cause kidney damage. A kidney specialist is the expert who should be consulted if your creatinine keeps going up. Dr. Roach writes, a recent column on RHD incompatibility and hemolytic disease of the newborn contained an embarrassing typo. It's when the mother is RHD negative and the father is RHD positive that the danger lies, and I wrote it backward. Most people were relatively nice about pointing out this error.
This is the Dear Abby column. Fiancé sees video and pics from the bachelorette party. Dear Abby, I'm about to get married to a wonderful woman. We have been together for 16 years and have two precious kids. Recently, we were treated to bachelor and bachelorette parties a week apart. Although we all know that what goes on during them isn't real, it's over once you walk out the door. Well, my fiancé has pictures and videos of her celebration. I knew what could have happened, but only in my imagination. Seeing these images, I now find myself constantly comparing myself to the performers. Even though I had told her that the fantasy shouldn't come home in any way, she says there's nothing to hide, which is why she had the pictures and videos done. Am I overreacting? The wedding is still going to happen, by the way. Signed, Fantasy versus Reality. Dear FVR, while the fact that your fiancé brought home souvenirs is regrettable, you are going to have to let go of your anxiety. Regardless of what went on at her bachelorette party, and I know some of them can become pretty wild, you must remember that the men that the bride and her attendants interacted with were hired for the occasion, just like the performers at yours were. If this has truly affected your self-esteem, you may have to add one more item to the cost of your nuptials, some sessions with a therapist to help you straighten out your thinking. P.S. I sincerely hope your precious children never get their hands on that video. Dear Abby, my husband's sister and her husband Tom recently moved to the same town we live in. I adore her, and she has become a close friend. We weren't able to get to know each other during the beginning of my marriage because we lived so far apart. Since they moved here, she and Tom fight constantly. Every time they do, Tom wants her to come stay with us. I don't mind an occasional overnight stay, but he wants her to move in with us. The problem is, she has no income of her own and no car, or even a driver's license. She's totally dependent on him. I don't feel comfortable getting in the middle of their business. We can't afford to take her in and take care of her, but she has nowhere else to go. What should I do? We can't put her out on the street. Signed, Wits End in the East. Dear Wits End, your sister-in-law and brother-in-law have not been fighting only since they moved to your community. It appears they have had severe marital problems that weren't dealt with well before they arrived. It's time for your husband to become more involved and talk with both of them. If there are other relatives in the area, perhaps she could stay temporarily with them. Of course, if Tom has a job, he will have to contribute financially until she becomes independent. In the meantime, encourage her towards self-sufficiency by helping her familiarize herself with public transportation, which she can use to seek employment. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.